This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at MissoulaChurch.com.
So somebody handed me a gift before church today, and it has my name on the front. It's a coffee mug, and I thought that was really cool. But then it had a motto that I've always said to my children on the back. And the back of it says, "Don't make me put you in one of my sermons," all right? That goes for some of you, all right? What a great gift. So I used to say that to them all the time, like, "Oh, we're going to be in a sermon." Yes, you are. Today we're talking about, last week we jumped off into this amazing New Testament book called Colossians, and we're going to take the next few weeks and just go through this book and how it speaks to our lives, and today we're in part two of that. If you missed part one, that's all right. Go back and watch it online. It'll bless your life and encourage you. I know it will, but we're in this book, on the study of the book of Colossians, where Paul is writing to this church in Colossae, and he's giving them this challenge that, hey, listen guys, you've started really well. Like, you are out of the gates, your church has started well, you're doing all these great things, you've started well, but now there has something, you've gotten off track, and this deception has entered into the church, these deception ideas have gotten in, and they've come into the church, and now I'm going to challenge you, like, to how to continue in your faith. In other words, to get back on track. And he's going to challenge them on how to continue in the faith. And it's very interesting, church, that I thought about this. I thought it was very interesting that I planned this series to talk about Colossians months and months and months and months ago with no idea that the world we'd be living in over the last couple months. Like, God has a way of orchestrating some things. And this message was perfect. It's perfect for you and where you are today and where we are as a church. So I want to talk to you, Colossians chapter 2, right there in verse 1, Paul starts out, and he says, I want you to know how hard I am contending. Contending here means how hard I'm fighting, I'm wrestling, I'm coming alongside you. It's why I challenged us last week that in our world today, in your faith today, it is all about Jesus. Like, I don't know where you are in life and what you've made life about, but the focus should be about Jesus, because Jesus is contending for you. And we need to contend for our faith. So he's saying to you, like, I know I'm contending for you and all of those in Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. So Paul has not planted this church. It's one of the churches, one and if the only church he hasn't planted, that he didn't meet the people, but he's coming alongside them. And he gives them this goal, and it is my goal for your life right now and today. Look what he says in verse 2. And my goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love. Hear me, let it be said of the Church of Jesus Christ during these difficult times that we are still encouraged in heart and united in love. He goes on to say, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. As I said in week one, this whole book, Paul's writing his book to the Church of Colossae, and the whole book is really this: encouraging the church, encouraging Christians to refocus on Jesus, to bring the focus back to him. It's about putting our attention back on who it really should be on, which is Jesus Christ. And then he shows us how, like, in a world filled with trials and filled with deception and filled with frustrations, how do we get our focus back on Jesus? And so here's what he tells us. He gives us the answer to that. He goes on, he says in Colossians 2, verse 6, he says, then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. Paul goes on to write, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Verse 8, he says, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy. And listen, there's a lot of that in our world today, which depends on human tradition, he writes, and in the elemental spiritual forces of the world rather than on Christ. And so today I want to give you this message simply titled from this second chapter of Colossians. I want to give you, to encourage you today on this idea of contending to continue. Like fighting to continue. Like Paul is challenging the church and he's challenging Christians. Fight with this idea that you are called to continue the faith that God has given you. You got to fight for it. And we understand, and you will probably understand this, anything that you do for a long amount of time, how many know if you do it long enough, there's going to be seasons where emotions and feelings leave you, right? And you're going to have to fight to keep going, even when you don't feel like keeping going. How many know marriage is a good idea of that? A good example of that, right? This is a marriage is a good example of that. Like you ever, you know, how we celebrate way too often when people get married instead of people that stay married. Like when someone's married for 20 years, we need to be like, amen. You go, girl. Because he ain't that. When they're married 30 years, we need to be like, wow, balloons falling. Like 30 years, right? How many know when it's 40 years, we are not worthy, right? Like, how did you do it? We need to celebrate it. We celebrate new Christians. And we should, right? We should. New people have given their hearts. But what about the people that have been doing it for 1 year and 20 years and 10 years and 40 years? Why not celebrate that? And we do that a lot in life where sometimes we celebrate the wrong things. And I'm just encouraging us today, like if you're going to sustain what God wants to do in your life, you're going to have to go through some seasons where you're going to have to contend to continue, to contend to keep going. Hear me this morning clearly. True success in the kingdom of God is not how loud you are. True success in the kingdom of God is not how loud you are. True success in the kingdom of God is how longevity you are. How long are you willing to keep this thing going? Not that you've just started, but that you have sustained it. Not that you have a moment of passion, right? You get this moment of passion, but then you have had, but that's not what's really so important. What's important is that you've had a lifelong pursuit after Jesus and it hasn't waned. Can I just encourage us, man, let's make long-term obedience celebrated again. Let's make that important. Let's make that the main thing. And it's not going to happen by chance. It happens by a decision to say, even when I don't feel like it, I'm still going to follow Jesus. Even when things aren't going my way, I'm still going to follow Jesus. Because I'm not living based on my passions. I'm living based on the principles and the faith of Jesus in my life. That I didn't just start this thing, but I'm going to sustain it. I'm going to finish it with all things, with all of my life. I'm going to continue. And here's why. I wrote it down this way. It takes grit. How many know this? It takes grit to continue long after the initial emotions have worn off. It takes a little bit of effort. It takes a little bit of grit. And some of us, the emotions have worn off. And we have found ourselves just going through the emotions. You were once excited and passionate about God and had all these reasons, but now guess what? It's become duty. Like some of you, it was a duty to get up this morning and come here. It's a duty. It's become, well, it's just the thing that I do. It's become tradition. It's become have to. And what happens is when that becomes the motto, when that becomes who we are, guess what happens? The why leaves. Guess what happens? The passion leaves. And then doubt creeps in, and the commitment seems to leave you. And your zeal goes from, like, you used to worship like this, now you're like this, now you're like this, right? It seems to wane and go away. Let us today have a moment to contend, to continue what God has for your life. You keep going after it. And that's what Paul does, right? He addresses this church that had started really well, but deceptive teaching has come inside the church. And there were like four major teachings that came inside the church of Colossae that he had infiltrated the church and their beliefs and their behaviors. And hear me out today. We even see it infiltrating the church today. I want you to point these out to you. So here was the four errors. Here was the errors that Paul had confronted. The first one was this thing called Gnosticism. And Gnosticism was a belief in this secret spiritual knowledge of salvation. Like it was kind of creepy. And this, they were downplaying Jesus as the full divinity. They were downplaying his role in your life and in your salvation. And it was like this idea of like, well, Jesus is good, but so is these other things. Well, Jesus is one way, but so are there these other ways, right? And what you see happening in this church and in the Church of America is it seemed right, but it was off. And this is what happened. And that's what we have to be careful about in our own lives, that things that seem right, but they're off. And that was Gnosticism. Then there was this thing he was combating called legalism. And it's this idea of relying on strict rules, like things like keeping dietary rules or Sabbath laws. And it was all to earn God's favor, God's faith, and favor over faith in Christ. So in other words, it was about favor. You did things to earn God's love. You did things to earn God's faith. You did things to earn salvation. And this still comes in the church today that binds people up. Like, you do this and God will love you. You do this and God will accept you. You walk this way, talk this way, and God will honor you. And it was in the church. Then there was this one called asceticism, which is this idea of this harsh self-denial. And we see this a lot in faith today. Like, the more you deny yourself, the more God. It's so out of context. Like, you know what? And so they would do things like starve themselves or body punishment. And it was all to gain this spiritual purity and gain this, like, favor with God, wrongly viewing, like, the physical as evil. And they would punish their bodies and try to earn salvation. It was this idea of work-based religion. Like, I hope to earn God's favor. I hope to earn God's love. So I'll do these certain things. And the last one in the culture was one we even see today, was called syncretism. And it was this idea of mixing Christian faith with other religions or other philosophical ideas like angel worship and pagan practices. And we see this a lot, even our church today, where we do some of this in our world, where we try to taint our faith by mixing in things. Well, I'll just mix a little bit of culture into my faith. I'll just mix a little bit of politics into my faith, a little bit of my upbringing. Or we say things like, well, that song is holy, but that song is not. Well, you know what? If you would just wear this, then that's acceptable and that's holy. But if you wear that, it's not. It's like mixing it in, trying to say, well, we just add a little bit of this and add a little bit of that, but we keep Jesus at the center. And instead of making Jesus about Jesus and only Jesus, and that's the whole point of the message of this series. It's for Christian Life Center, for us as this church, to put the whole focus back on what is the most important thing, which is Jesus Christ. And so let me help you contend to continue your faith, especially in a world, hear me, that is attacking the church. Especially in the world and a culture that is coming against Christianity and faith, how do we continue? How do we contend? And I want to give you three things to help us as we're contending to continue. So the first one is, and there are these statements, how do we contend to continue? Here's the first thing that Paul teaches us in the scripture. The first thing, it starts with this. You and I making this statement, I will start. I will start. And it's important that you understand that the only way you can contend for your faith, the only way to keep your faith going, is you actually have to start this thing, right? It's like, I describe it this way, it's like the person who drives around the gym. And they say to you, I went to the gym today. Did you? Like that person, I've made a budget for my finances. Well, did you apply it? Well, I have one. See, I like these people. I've met some of you who have a whole room in your house that's just full of books on a bookshelf. And you're like, I'm like, that's amazing. All those books. Which one's your favorite? They're like, all of them. I'm like, wow, which one have you read? None of them. But they look nice. It's decoration. It's aesthetics, right? It just looks good. Listen, having the book doesn't change your life. You got to read the book. And that's what he's talking about. Going to church is not the thing that's going to be your saving grace, right? It begins with you actually have started a relationship with God. Have you started that? And before all my seasoned people check out and say, well, that's not me, that question is for you as well. Because starting is not an end, it continues. How many know we start every day? In fact, the Bible reminds us his mercies are new every morning. And if his new mercies are new every morning, then guess what? We need to start a daily relationship every day with God. All of us today, have you actually gone all in? Have you started this thing? And that's what Paul says in our passages. Look what he says in verse 6. It's amazing. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. You've got to start it. You received it. Now you have to keep it going in your life. And so let me just, I thought it'd be appropriate to say, let me break these words down. Like, we don't understand what it actually means to be saved sometimes. We love to throw that word around, but what does it actually mean to be saved? Here's what it says. It starts with this word, received. And received means to actively take hold or accept. Often with, get this, with the sense of personal commitment. Personal, I receive it personally. It's a personal commitment. It's not my mom is a Christian. It's not my girlfriend is a Christian. It's not my grandma is a Christian. It's not my upbringing was a Christian. No, have you received? Have you made a personal commitment? Are you personally invested? Is it costing you personally? And then Paul says, as you received, and what he says, Christ Jesus as Lord. What does Christ as Lord mean? It means simply this. Are you acknowledging his supreme authority, not just a savior figure? That he has supreme authority over your life. It's not just like, because we say this a lot. It's not just like, man, I just don't want to go to hell. Like, I'm just doing everything I can do to stay out of hell. And that, hear me, that's great. And that's awesome. And that's an amazing benefit. But that's not what it means to get saved. That's not what it means to get saved. When you give your life to Jesus, when you start a relationship with God, you are submitting yourself saying, I am receiving personally the lordship of Jesus in my life. Personally. I'm under his control. It's no longer my control. It's his control. That's why the gospel writer John wrote it this way in verse 1. He says, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave what? The right to become children of God. So those who have made a personal commitment, you get rights. Man, you get rights. That's something to be excited about. Because like my children have rights because they're my children and I'm their dad. My son, when he was little, he lived on milkshakes at camp. Before I came here, I was what they call a district youth director, and my job for years was to oversee, one of the part of my jobs was to oversee camps, youth camps and summer camps, and all these kids would come, and at the snack shack, my son could walk in, and he did religiously every day, multiple times a day, and he would say, I want a milkshake, and then he would follow it with this statement, put it on my dad's tab. At the end of the summer, I'm like, oh my, $1,000 in milkshakes? All on my tab. And he would just say, put it on my, he had a right as my child to walk in and say, put it on my dad's tab. Come on, church. You have rights as children of God. You could say, well, I'm going through a rough time. Put it on my dad's tab. Man, I've been given a really bad diagnosis. Put it on my dad's tab. I need some provision in my life. I'm lacking some things. You know what? Put it on my dad's tab. Because if you're just sitting here and you say, well, you know what? God just loves everyone the same. Well, we're all just children of God. Can I just say to you, you've missed it. Because what I've found in our world today is people will talk to me and they have really good intentions. Really good intentions. Like they'll say, I want to be a better person. I want to be a better father or mother. I want to be more generous. I want all these things. And I'll look at them and I'll say, hey, listen, I think you're a good person. But let me ask you the real question. Are you born again? Are you saved? Have you actually personally committed your life to Jesus? I understand you went to church. I understand you bought a Bible. But have you started an actual relationship with God? Have you come under the lordship of Jesus? Because listen, I wrote that down this way. To become a Christian, hear me, is to submit to the sovereign rule of Jesus over Not some, every area of your life. Man, let's not mix it in with the things of this world, right? This, we do this all the time. I did this last week, if you were here, this amazing illustration of like, this is your life, and this is exactly what we do. We have all these things in our lives, and we usually make something the most important, whether, you know, maybe it's your children are the most important things. And we think, well, we can mix it and we can have it. I'll add Jesus somewhere in there, but this doesn't put Jesus as Lord. This just says, well, these are the most important things in my life, but I'll add Jesus because he needs to be part of the pie. He needs to have some say, but it doesn't work that way. Well, you know what? Maybe it's not children. Maybe for you, it's just, you know, it's your career is the most important thing. But listen, guys, I showed up to church. You know, the average person goes to church and they say that they are a churchgoer 1.6 times a month. And we celebrate it in church culture. Hey, they're churchgoers. They go 1.6 times a month. I would argue Jesus got a place on the wheel, but he's not the wheel. And what he's saying to us, he's reminding us, hey, listen, it's okay to care about your career. It's okay to care about your family, your children, your friends, and all these other things. But Jesus has to be the center. He has to be the Lord of everything. He is the Lord of all your things, your family, career, marriage. And here's the good news about it, right? Like I said last week, when he is Lord, somehow everything else seems to fall into place. And this is what we do. Like, we want to mix it up and say, well, I'll just mix them around and put them in some other places. And it doesn't work for your life. We have to say, no, I'm under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Every part of me belongs to him. Have you ever gone to a restaurant that's absolutely horrific? You leave that restaurant and you're like, I'm never going back to that place again. Anybody else ever been there before, right? Service is bad. The food is bad. And then a couple months later, you drive by and you see something that's really encouraging to you. It gets you thinking. You drive by and all of a sudden in this window is this sign, under new management. And you're like, maybe. Maybe I see that. Maybe, just maybe, I might give that place another try. What did you recognize? You recognize that because someone else was in charge of it, maybe it'll be better. Just maybe. Maybe the new management made some changes. Let me tell you what Christianity is. It's not a betterment for your life idea. It's not a little bit of self-improvement to go along with the other improvements you got going on. No, Christianity, hear me, is putting your life under new management. It's putting your life under new management. I was once in control. I was once in charge, but now I'm under new management of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm under that new. I used to talk a certain way. Guess what? I'm under new management. I mean, I used to do things that would grieve the heart of God, but now I'm under new management. Like, I used to have addictions and things that were addictive in my life, but guess what? Today, I'm under new management. Some of you would say, well, I used to think a certain way. I used to act a certain way. I used to believe a certain way, but now, guess what? I'm under new management. It's different now because I'm under this whole new management. I'm not controlled by what was. I'm controlled by him. He is not just my Savior. He is my Lord. And I have a relationship with God because I am under this new management. Church, I'm passionate about it because here's the thing. Because if we're going to seize the opportunities in our city and in our world right now, we can't just make people good people. We just can't make people good people. We've got to see them committed to God, starting faith, submitting to the lordship of Jesus. And this is what I want for your life. Because a lot of people are frustrated saying, you know what? I've tried that before, Pastor. I've tried the church thing. I've tried to go all in. And I went a little bit in and I'd give it a little sample try. And here's the reality. We can't particularly surrender. We can't partially surrender and expect total transformation, right? You just can't. You can't partially surrender and expect total transformation, right? You ever go to Costco and try the food samples? How come those people can make it better than you can at home? You ever try it? There's something they're putting in those things. Right? But you know what you do? You try that little piece of sample and you're like, I'm going all in on that. And I'm taking it home. I just know this, man, I can promise you, you go all in on Jesus, you will not be disappointed. He will transform your life. So many people will say, well, I've tried this, you know, I've tried that. And you just can't partially surrender and expect total transformation. You can't have one foot in the world and one foot in the church and think that life is going to be different and life is going to change and think that Christianity is going to work for you. Hear me. We can't live lives that say, well, I belong to God on Sunday, but I belong to the world on Friday. It's either, it has to be all in. We need people in 2025 who are all in, people who are bold enough to say, I am starting this thing, I'm starting it right, and I'm going to live under the lordship of Jesus Christ. So that's what he does. So then, so he says, and we've got to start. And he goes to Colossians 2. Well, I'm just going to get this out of the way because there's a bunch of junior hires in the room. Okay, 6-7. Okay, so we just get it over with now, all right? Colossians 2, 6, 7. All right, so they can laugh and be done. All right, there we go. He says in Colossians, so then just as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted, built up in him, and strengthened in the faith. Here's your second I will statement this morning. We got to start, but then he says, I will. You got to say, I will grow. I will grow. So I'm not just going to start, but I'm going to grow. And in our passage, he tells us, he says, you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. And then he tells us how to continue to live in him. He says, be rooted. He says, be built up. And he says, be strengthened in the faith. Do it as you were taught. Can I encourage all of us in the room today? Don't settle for surface level Christianity. Don't settle for a version of Christianity where you show up at church every once in a tragedy. Right? You show up at church every once in a tragedy, where you show up to church, but you're never committed to the church. Don't be that type of Christian where you get a verse of the day, but you don't dive deep into God's word. Like, we need to go deep with God. We need to make that decision that this is where real life change happens. It's where we say, I've started, and now I'm actually going to grow. Like, this isn't a work-based religion. Like, you're not working for your salvation. It's not about that, but it's about saying, listen, I want to go all in. Because you have to understand this today. One decision to follow Jesus saves you. A daily decision to follow him sanctifies you. There's a difference. That one decision, yeah, it'll save you, but you need that daily go deep with God to see true change happen in your life. Like, we've all got some issues that we need to work out of our lives. We've got some attitudes that need to be worked out. We've got some behaviors that need to be worked out. We've got some trauma from our past that need to be worked out of our lives. And Paul is telling us, you started this thing. Now get some work done in your life. Grow. Go deeper. And he tells us how. He says, you got to get rooted. You got to build up. And you got to strengthen your life. And you got to do these things if you want to see life change and if you want to see your world change. So let me quickly give you these three words, how he breaks them down and what they mean. He tells us, first of all, hey, listen, you got to be rooted. And here's what rooted means. Rooted is simply saying, I am deep in God's word. I'm rooted. I'm planted. I don't settle for a surface level Christian version of the Bible. It's going deep into God's word. Like, I want to read his word. I want to hear God's word. I know that he wants to speak over my life, and this is how he does it, through his word. I want to know what his truths are for me. I don't want to be confused anymore or question God's voice anymore, because I want to read his voice and hear his voice through his word every day in my life. And the Bible is God's voice to us. It's how he speaks to us. And we need to have roots deep so that we can hear him in what he's saying to us. A list theologian, A.W. Tozer, he wrote it this way. He says, a shallow faith withers in the storm, but a rooted faith grows stronger. He says, stay planted in Christ, and guess what? You will bear fruit. How do we stay planted in Christ? Well, you get into God's word. And the best way to continue in your faith is to become a person who's hungry for the word of God, that wants to know more. Like, right here at CLC, that's why we do these things. Shameless plug. That's why we do life groups. You need to be in a life group. That's why we do Grow You on Wednesday nights. You need to be a part of Grow You. That's why we do all these things, not because we just want another thing to do, but we believe strongly in that your faith and continuing for your faith comes from you wanting to grow deeper into God's word. Listen to a podcast. Get off your phone. Don't you know how many millions of podcasts are out there to hear God's word? They got ones now, I just saw on Instagram, where like they have these beautiful voices that will read it to you. So if you just need to go to sleep, you put on this nice British accent, and this famous person reads it all theatrical, and they read it to you, and guess what? You go to sleep. Sign me up, all right? But it's just getting the word deep in your heart. Listen to a do these things. Like, you treat God's word as a treasure. If I told you there was a treasure and it was worth something, you're going to go after it. You're going to go for it. Every single day, you're going to pursue it. Why? Because you know something valuable is inside of it. And God's word is no different. And it will guide your life. Look at it this way. I believe this. I no longer live by my feelings, but I live by the word of God. It's what's going to guide me. I don't care what culture has taught me. I go by what the Word of God says. I don't care about how I was raised. I'm going to go by what the Word of God says. Like, I don't care what kind of trauma or tragedies I have been through, because those things do not dictate my life. How many know it's God's Word that dictates your life? That's what dictates you. And I'm rooted in His words. I don't care how motivated you have to be. I'm going to keep going toward God's word. Like, God, if your word is alive and active, I'm going to let that guide my life instead of these other things. The Bible reminds us that the word of God is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. And so I'm going to live my life based on God's word. I got to get my roots deep into it. And guys, listen, it helps us not to be swayed back and forth on the feelings, on the culture. It grounds us because it's what God says over your life. We are rooted. That's why I love, again, our life groups that we're having here. I love it, because if you're not connected to one, you need to get connected to one, because it will grow roots in your life. It will grow roots into God's word. It will grow roots with other people that are walking the same path that you're walking. So then he goes on, he says, okay, how to grow? Not only rooted, then he tells us to be built up. And here's what built up is. Built up is I'm connected to God's church. Now, here's the idea. You say, hey, you're going to be built up because you got a people around you. You got people around you that are family, that are friends, that are community, that are like-minded with you. And here's the thing. I just want to encourage us. We can't do faith in isolation. Just can't do it. It's difficult to sustain faith in isolation. We need community. I remember growing up on the playground. None of y'all remember the playground. I remember growing up on the playground, and I wasn't always the biggest kid, and I wasn't always the bravest kid, but for some reason, I was always in the right crew. Like, I always knew, like, I had protection. I could call on my friends, and they'd help me out. I had the right crew when everybody else wanted to mess with me. Like, we even had a term we called ourselves. We were a gang, and we called ourselves the Regulators. And all we had to say was, Regulators! And they'd all come up, right? We're in this together. I was always blessed to be in the right crew. We're from the South, man. We're rednecks. We had a term. We tell people, you mess with the bull, you get the horn. You know what I'm saying? That's what, you didn't mess with us. We were in the right crew. And some of you might feel weak. You might feel like the enemy keeps one up in you. Can I just encourage you? You won't survive faith alone. But hear me. Here's the good news. Look around you today. You don't have to. You're not alone. You are part of a winning team. God's kingdom, His kingdom is advancing, and we are stronger together, and it is amazing to be a part of it. And the reality for you and me this morning is, I know this, when I'm weak, you're strong. And when you're weak, I'm strong. When you're struggling, I've got your back. And I know that when I'm struggling, you've got my back. And carry me to say, that is what's called the body of Christ. That is community. We're in this thing together, building each other up. And you need this, right? Again, that's why we have these things at our church. This is why we do things, so that we can all be built up together and say, hey, we can make it. We are stronger. We're better together. We can accomplish more and take more ground and more territory. So then he gives us the last one. How do we grow? How do we grow? He tells us to be strengthened in the faith. And strengthened in the faith is just simply saying this: I'm trusting God in tough times. And not just trusting God in tough times, but I'm trusting God at all times. He's showing us that you're going to get strong in your faith by simply just trusting God, by believing in Him and putting all your trust in Him. And God knows. He knows what you have faced, church, and He knows what you're going to face. And you and I are left to ask the question, are you able to trust Him with that? Are you able to trust Him with, number one, He's got your back? And number two, are you able to trust Him that He knows what's best for you? If it's not the tragedy this week, guess what? It'll be the tragedy next week. Or it'll be the tragedy down the road. Or something will come along your way. And it will be at that point where you and I will say, we're going to either give in, or we're going to shrink back in fear, or we're going to trust God and get strengthened in our faith. And the challenge is leading our there's challenges in leading our church. No one told me when I became a lead pastor that there'd be challenges in leading a church. I thought it was going to be easy. I thought, man, this is going to be awesome. This is going to be great. There's challenges in leading a church. I thought everybody would like me. Some of you don't like me. That's okay. I like you. But there's challenges. But what I've learned is this in leading a church. No matter what I think or what I feel, I can lean into faith. And I can lean into God. And we know, in spite of everything that happens, we know that this is God's church. This is God's church, and we can trust Him. We know that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, and that as we trust Him and as we lean on Him, guess what happens? The church gets stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. And you're going to have trials in your life. And what I've realized is God does not cause our storms. Good theology for you. God does not cause our storms, but what he does is He uses every storm you go through to build your faith, to make you stronger and stronger than you ever were before. And if you're ever going to go through a storm, if you're going through a storm right now, can I just encourage you, man, get your head up. If you're going through a storm, a difficult season right now, just be encouraged. Because I know this about God. If you're taking notes, get this. Storms that don't break you, build you. Storms that don't break you, they build you. And we serve a God that declares in His word that He turns all things around for His good. There's nothing you don't go through that He doesn't have a handle on. So if you're in a bad season right now, it's okay. Be frustrated, but get some hope that the God who brought you into it will get you through it, because that makes you stronger. It makes us stronger. And you might not enjoy the season, but you're getting stronger. And you might not like what's going on in your life, but you're getting stronger. And you might not like what's going on in your finances or in your relationships or what other things you're in your career, but you're getting stronger. Because it's happening in your life right now, because it's going on in life, it's going to get you turned around as long as you and I put our hope and our trust in Jesus Christ. You're going to make it through this thing. So then he says on this, he goes on, he says, so then so you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your life in Him, rooted, built on Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught. And then he says these amazing words, and overflowing with thankfulness. One last challenge. How do we contend to continue? How do we continue? How do we fight to keep fighting? How do we fight to keep going in the face of adversity, in the face of criticism and all these things? Well, you know, we start. We know that. And then I say, I will grow. But let me give you this last one Paul challenges. You want to contend for your faith, then you get to this place and you constantly tell yourself, I will be grateful. I'm going to be grateful. I'll be grateful. And Paul is simply saying, no matter what happens in your life, be grateful. I know that you didn't come to church to hear that today, because some of you are mad. And some of you like being mad. And some of you like adversity, and you like it, but I'm telling you today, be grateful. I love, maybe it's a statement you've heard before, but it is literally creating an attitude of gratitude that gives us this drive to continue to move forward in what God has for you next. And so many people in our world today and in our church today are only looking at negativity. They're looking at the negativity in their lives, the negativity in their world, negativity of politics, negative, 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 negative. And can I challenge you to change your perspective? To look at what God is doing instead of what you don't see Him doing. Can I challenge you with that? Can I challenge you to give God thanks for what He has done instead of what you're still waiting for Him to do? Like, just give Him gratitude. The number one question that I get as a pastor is simply this: what is God's will for my life? It's the number one question I get. God, what is God's will? How do I know God's will? What is God's will for my life? And I have the answer for you this morning. If you've been looking for God's will for you, I got it. I know God's will for your life. Are you ready? 1 Thessalonians, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for your life. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You don't want to know God's will for you in your current season? Walk in gratitude. And you say, well, it's not a good season. It's not a great season. And I would say to you, be grateful. The scripture says, be grateful in all circumstances. In a bad season, be grateful. Man, in an amazing, incredibly awesome season, be grateful. In a you might say, well, I'm prosperous right now, man. I'm overflowing. Be grateful. Some of you say, I am poor right now. And I would say, I'm still be grateful. Some of you in the room say, I'm lonely. I just feel really alone. And I would say, in the midst of your loneliness, still be grateful. And some of you would say, well, I have great relationships. My cup is overflowing with goodness and people and community. And I would say to you, be grateful. Because hear me, gratitude is not dictated based on my circumstances. Gratitude is a decision that I make despite my circumstances. I'm not thankful because of something. I'm thankful despite of that. And through my gratitude, guess what it does? It fuels my life to keep my focus on God and His purposes for my life. Hear me, I wrote down this way. Every time I choose to be grateful, I receive strength from God to continue when otherwise I would have quit. Gratitude has a way of doing that. Like, it has a way of immediately refocusing you off everything else. Man, if you could sit in your car during the most tragic times and hurtful times in your life and still say, I'm so thankful, I'm full of gratitude, tell me it won't change your focus. We look at circumstances in our lives and our circumstances in our world, and yes, it frustrates us. But even in the midst of that, we could be grateful. Be grateful because we know that God has a plan. Be grateful because we absolutely know that God is in control. Be grateful that God's not done with your life. He's not done with our nation. He's not done with our world. Be grateful that God is working things behind the scenes that you and I don't always see. And I know it's hard when we are constantly being hit with negativity. It's hard. Man, can I just encourage you? Let's get off the social media. Man, let's get off the news. Let's get off the phone and the text messages. Man, let's just get off the opinions of others. And how about we put our focus on Jesus? We just put our focus on Jesus, saying, God, if you did nothing else for my life, I'm going to be forever grateful that you saved me, that you have forgave me, and I have eternity waiting for me in heaven. That is worth your gratitude. We need to be grateful people. So how do we contend to keep going, church? Well, first, you got to start. You got to start. And if you haven't started, guess what? Today is a good day to start. Then you got to grow. We just need to grow. I will grow. Like really putting the work in to lean into what God has for your life. Like get on a serve team. Find a life group. Part of grow you. Get into God's word, the most important thing. Grow yourself. Make this, in this room, make this your new season in life. I'm going to grow deep in my faith. And then he says, you know what? Make the decision to say, I'm going to be grateful. I'm going to be grateful when things are good, and I'm going to be grateful when things are bad. I'm going to live with this attitude of gratitude. So I close today with this last verse that I'll close with. And this verse has helped me in my life to continue. We always taught our son this verse. It's kind of his life verse from the time he was a little kid. Because Braden, you wouldn't know this about him, especially since he's in college playing sports, but he always was nervous and anxious before every game. Like from the time he was the littlest kid, he just had this anxiety that would come before every game. And we would learn to say, hey, let's pray. And we'd always pray before the game, and then we would quote this scripture afterwards. And he would got to the point where Braden, like, he would have to remind us, like, we'd be driving to the game, and he goes, okay, let's pray. And we would pray, and then we would say this scripture verse together. And I remember that one specific time, we were in Massachusetts. He was about fourth or fifth grade, and we're at our football team had made it to the Super Bowl championship for the state of Massachusetts in his grade. And we're in this game. We're on defense. We're winning. But the team we're playing is driving, and they're almost to the end zone, very close. Time is running out. And we knew that the only play they had left, they'd probably had to pass the ball. And I remember times running out, and I remember our coach calling timeout, and I'm on the field, and the kids come over. And I'll never forget looking at my son, Braden, and he's just staring at me, and tears are flowing down his face. This little kid. Of course, my heart's breaking for him, but I'm just looking at, and the reason he's crying is fear. What if I'm the one who loses the game for our team? It's like, what if they pass my way? He's like, Dad, what if they pass my way? And I lose it for our team. And he is so filled with anxiety, so filled with fear. He's literally crying. And I remember sitting in that little huddle before he went back out. I said, remember our verse, Brayden. Remember our verse. And I'll tell it to you today. No matter what you face, Philippians 4, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. By the way, we won the game. Come on. So we won the Super Bowl. Won two of them. Anyway, here's the reality for your life. We really don't know what that verse means. It's probably the most taken out of context verse in the entire Bible. Because when we read that, we want to say to ourselves, hey, that's telling me that I can do anything that I want to do. That I can do anything I want to do. That's what that scripture's telling me. And that verse, that's not the context of the verse. And that verse, what it really means is this. Paul is writing to this church in Philippi. He's sitting in prison writing to this church in Philippi who is under immense persecution. This church is being persecuted like crazy. And Paul's in prison, and he's writing to this church to encourage them. And he says this, basically what he's saying in context of the verse. He's saying, hey, when you have a lot, you can get through it because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. But when you have nothing, guess what? You can get through it because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Man, when things are good, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And when things are bad, guess what? You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can be content no matter what you're facing. Why? Because our power is not in who we are. It's in Christ Jesus who gives us the strength. It's in Christ Jesus who gives us strength in good seasons and in bad seasons. It's Christ who gives us the strength in our blessed seasons and our broken seasons. And it's through him, not ourselves, that we find strength. He is our focus this morning. Would you stand with me and we close with this? And all across this room, I want to end today just praying God's strength over you. Lord, I pray this over your people in the midst of trials, in the midst of trauma, when things are great and when things are not so great. Lord, may we find our strength in you. May we be built on you. May we be rooted in you. May we be committed to you. Lord, I pray over your church today that we would find strength this morning. May we contend to continue in this thing. May we make you the most important thing. May our lives come under new management and the lordship of Jesus Christ. May we fight to keep going. Lord, I pray today that you would grow your church, that you'd grow this church. May we grow deep and help us to be grateful. Help us this morning to be overflowing with thankfulness, not just for what you have done, but for what you are yet to do. And Lord, may we be careful this morning. May we be careful, both in good season and bad seasons, that you would be given all the praise and all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on, let's worship. He's worthy this morning. this morning. Their heads bowed and our eyes closed as we close out this morning. I want to give you an opportunity, especially for those in the room who have not started. And your life needs to come under new management today. This is your opportunity. Simply, the most significant decision you could make is to start. And we just believe that the starting sets you on a pathway to a changed life. And God just wants that relationship with you. And if you're here today and you need to make that statement, you're like, I need to start. Their heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one looking around. This is between you and God. We're not going to embarrass you. We just want to know who we're praying for this morning. If you're in a place, you're like, I need to start this thing. I need to, my life needs to come under new management. Right where you're sitting today, I want to pray with you. And if that's you, would you just put your hand up, put it down again? I just want to know who I'm praying for real quick. Thank you. Anybody else? Real quick. Thank you. I see hands. Anyone else? Come on. Right now, Lord, we come to you. So many of us need to say, my life's coming under new management. I give it to you. And if that's you in the room today, this is your starting point. Right where you're sitting, all you have to do is say, God, I want to start anew with you. I want a fresh relationship with Jesus. Right where you're sitting, just say, Lord, would you become the Lord of my life? I give my life to you. Will you be my Lord? Will you be my Savior? I want to start with you. And then, Lord, I help us to grow. Help us to trust you and to lean on you in all things. As I close today, I want to close this way, unique way. I want to close with a benediction over your life. But I want to give you a benediction. I want to pray a prayer over you right out of Colossians. And it's the same prayer that Paul prayed over the church that I want to pray over you today. And so if you feel comfortable, you don't have to, but if you feel comfortable, maybe you'd raise your hands just to receive it today, to receive this prayer that I pray over you. Colossians chapter 2. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built in him, strengthened in the faith. No matter what you face, no matter what storm comes your way, I'm going to stay rooted and strengthened, built in the faith. As you were taught and overflowing with faithfulness, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. And I pray this over today, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, hear me, you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and over every authority. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on, can we give it to the Lord today? Yeah. So I want to encourage you today, man, when you go out of this place, go out in his power, go out in his authority. And you know what? Why don't we go out and change the world for Jesus Christ, all right? Let's let our lives and the supremacy of him in our lives be the example that the world needs. I'll just close with this today. If you are needing prayer this morning, we have a prayer corner over here with some people that love to pray with you. Take an opportunity. This is how we build each other up, as we pray for one another. And if you just need some prayer today, there's some wonderful people that love to just take a moment. Maybe you gave your heart to the Lord. Maybe you're walking through some difficult seasons. These guys want to pray with you. I want to encourage you with that. Encourage you to check out everything that's happening at CLC. There's a lot of things happening. You want to come back next week? We have a unique talk that we want to talk to you about next week. Bring a friend with you. It's going to be amazing. And so, Lord, I finally just pray your blessings upon your people. May your face shine upon them, God. May you strengthen us. May you build us up. Cause us to be rooted in you, God, that we're not swayed back and forth, but we are firm people that knows that Jesus is our Lord, that he is for us, that he is not against us. We serve a God who is good and good in all ways and in all things. And we proclaim that today. May your hand be upon every person in this room. Guide them and lead them and protect them. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. Come on. God bless you, man. Have a great day. The Lord be with you. In Jesus' name.
This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at MissoulaChurch.com.